Good morning. It is a real honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. I was just thinking back, it's been 13 years since I preached at Grace. Now, the reason I know that is because my son had just been born and he's 13 now. But I just wanted to share with you this morning the journey that the Lord has had us on. And one of the big reasons that I wanted to specifically share with you as a church is because whether most of you realize it or not, Grace has been a big part of my journey in my life. For 28 years, you supported my parents on the mission field in the Dominican Republic. And when the Lord called me as a single missionary to the Dominican Republic in 1999, you were one of my supporting churches as well. And so I just thank you for your faithfulness and missions. As I've been thinking about this journey that the Lord has had us on, there's one passage in Scripture, one individual in Scripture that I've really identified with as I've been going down the path that the Lord has had me on and has had us on as a family. And that individual is Abraham. And this morning, as I begin, I would like to take some time to look at Abraham's call. And so I'm going to ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This is the passage that gives us the account of the moment in which God called Abraham. It also gives us the account of Abraham's response to God's call. The first thing I'd like to look at is God spoke and Abram listened. Now we're going to notice here in the beginning of the story of Abraham, his name is Abram, and God later changes his name to Abraham. But beginning in verse 1, chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" I don't know exactly how God spoke to Abram. The passage doesn't really tell us here. I don't know whether he spoke to him in a loud, thundering voice, whether it was a soft whisper, or maybe it was in a vision. We don't know. We do see several other places, though, in the book of Genesis where God spoke to Abram, whose name, as I mentioned before, God later changed to Abraham. And so, in order to avoid confusion, I will refer to him as Abraham from here on. But we see that each of these times, these other times that are recorded, that God spoke to Abraham, he spoke to him in a different way. In chapter 15, God appeared to Abraham in a vision. In chapter 18, God appeared to Abraham as a man. In chapter 22, God spoke to Abraham in an audible voice. So one thing that I'd like to make a note of here is whenever God speaks, he doesn't always speak in the same way. God has many different ways of speaking to us and communicating with us. We will also notice that whenever God spoke, regardless of how God spoke, whether it was in a vision, whether God appeared as a man, whether it was in an audible voice, no matter how God spoke to Abraham, we see that Abraham listened to God's words. In verses 2 and 3, we see that God made a promise to Abraham. Verse 2, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God told Abraham to leave his country and his family and go to a land that he would show him. Now, I want us to put ourselves in Abraham's situation for a minute. Think about this. Abraham, already advanced in his years. God says, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to pack everything that you have. I want you to gather all of your possessions. And I want you to leave your homeland. And I just want you to start walking, and I'll let you know when you get there. Now, how many of us would like to head out on a journey like that? Not knowing what lies ahead. Now, there are a few adventurous people that would probably enjoy that. But generally, we like to know where we're going and what's going to happen, right? Abraham was told to leave his homeland and to go to a place where he did not know where he was going and he did not know when he would arrive. Now, since I stepped down as pastor at Tipton Baptist Church, in the process, as we're raising support, I needed to find another job. And so the job that the Lord opened up for me is driving a motor coach for Fullington Motor Coach Company in State College. My very first trip this past week, they called me up and said, you're taking a group of 28 people to Williamsburg, Virginia for 2 days. So, one of the things that I bought as soon as I got this job, and I knew I was getting this job, was a GPS that is for commercial use, that I put in the dimensions of the bus that I'm driving, the weight, and it keeps me off of all of the roads that I'm not supposed to be on. And you know what? That GPS took me turn to turn every single place that I needed to be. Abraham didn't have that. Abraham did not have a GPS telling him, get in the right lane because you're going to be getting off at such and such exit. He had no idea where he was going or when he would arrive. Now, I'm really going to be grateful for that GPS this week, because on Tuesday, I leave for a 5-day trip of Washington, D.C. and New York City. But again, think about Abraham's situation. God said, look, I am sending you on this journey, and I'm not going to give you any input as to where you're going, what's going to happen along the way, when you will arrive. But when God spoke, Abraham listened. When God made a promise, Abraham believed. Abraham didn't have a GPS. Abraham didn't even have a map. Abraham didn't have an agenda. He didn't know where he was supposed to go, what he was supposed to do. So what did he have to rely on? The only thing that Abraham had to rely on was the promise that God was with him, and that he would not only bless him and his descendants, but that all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. That's all Abraham knew. Abraham knew that God called, and Abraham knew that God made a promise. And on that promise, Abraham stepped out in faith. In verses 4 through 9, we see that Abraham obeyed and God blessed him. If you would follow with me, I'd like to read those verses. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. We see here that Abram not only believed by stepping out in faith, but he continued to trust God's plan as it was gradually revealed along the journey. This entire journey, Abraham faced many trials, many obstacles, and most of the time he had no forewarning of what was coming. He simply continued as God opened doors and as God revealed his plan, Abraham continued to trust and to obey. Now, did Abram make some mistakes along the way? Absolutely. And we all make mistakes along the way. But one thing that we see is because Abraham trusted God, because Abraham followed God's instructions and continued on the journey that God had sent him on, we see that God blessed him. Hebrews chapter 11 is what many refer to as the hall of faith in the Bible. It is a passage where all of the great men of the Old Testament, the great men of faith, are listed and were given reasons why they were great men of faith. And in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God." God blessed Abraham's faithfulness. God blessed Abraham's dependence and reliance on him. God blessed Abraham's willingness to say, "God, I'm going to step forward in faith, even though I don't know all the answers. Even though I don't know what lies ahead, you're with me, you've promised to bless me, and so I'm going to believe and I'm going to step out in faith." And in Hebrews 11, 12, it says, "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead." Now, have you thought about why it says him as good as dead? I think that's a reference to his age. Remember, he was 75 years old when God called him on this journey. And he was much older by the time he saw any part of the fulfillment of the promise that God had given him. So I believe this is a reference to age. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are, when God calls, we must obey. There isn't an age where we reach, okay, I've got to stop listening to God. I've got to stop stepping out in faith for God. No. Here in Hebrews 11, it says he was so old, he was as good as dead. But when God called, he stepped out. "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." As we have stepped out on this journey that God has called us on, I am in no way trying to compare myself to the great patriarch Abraham. But I do see a lot of similarities between the journey that God had him on and the journey that God has had me on for many years and has had, and my wife and kids have now joined in on that journey. As many of you know, I grew up in the Dominican Republic. My parents were missionaries there for 28 years. At the age of 14, I recommitted my life to the Lord, and that was the moment in which God called me into the ministry. I became actively involved in the ministry in the Dominican Republic. I preached my first sermon at the age of 14. At the church in Jacagua, whose new building, the team that's going down with me, is going to be building a new building. And you'll actually get to hear me preach two Sundays from now in Spanish at that church where I preached my first sermon at the age of 14. I became actively involved in the ministry, and really the ministry in the Dominican Republic was more than just my parents' ministry. At that point, I really felt that God had called me to that ministry there. And so When I graduated from high school, came back to college, my plan all along was to go back to the Dominican Republic as a missionary. And I had my life all planned out. You know, I'd meet, you know, the woman of my dreams in college. You know, we'd get married, we'd go down and spend the rest of our lives in the Dominican Republic ministering to the people whom I love and care about. But my college years came to an end and I still had not met that perfect young lady. And so I struggled a little bit with the idea of, do I wait until I meet somebody or do I go down as a single? Well, the Lord finally said, you know, Dan, you're to go. And so I began the process of raising support. 3 months before I left for the mission field, I met Barb. 3 months! And so I said to her, I said, you know, I really don't know what's going to happen here. We're just going to have to see what the Lord does. So most of our dating relationship, I was in the Dominican Republic and she was here in the States. So in December of 2000, the mission and our supporting churches agreed to allow me to come back in order to get married and to raise additional support to go back as now a married person and to go to language school with my wife for her to study Spanish down in Texas at Rio Grande Bible Institute. While she was studying, I was pastoring a small Spanish church in Texas. While we were there, my wife started having very serious health issues. At the time, they thought that it was some form of epileptic seizures. It wasn't until 7 years later that she was finally diagnosed with abdominal migraines. Abdominal migraines are very rare, but it's a migraine that actually affects the abdominal muscles, and it causes the abdominal muscles to contract so tightly that it actually cuts off the vagal nerve and causes her to go into cardiac arrest. For 2 years, we were really struggling with whether or not we should go back to the Dominican Republic with my wife's health. At the time, we still had no answers. We were spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on all kinds of neurological tests and things, and nothing was, we didn't know. So finally, in 2003, we resigned from the mission. And I'll tell you, that was probably the toughest decision I have ever had to make in my life. I was really struggling because God, I knew that call that God had placed on my life was real. How could it be then that He would close the door? I knew that everything that God had done in my life up to this point was preparing me for the ministry there in the Dominican Republic. And I really struggled. And I know it was a difficult time for my wife as well because she carried the guilt of knowing that she was the reason that we weren't in the Dominican Republic. So I spent several years in secular work, actually spent 4.5 years driving tractor trailer for FedEx Freight. I call it my wilderness experience. But again, that experience has then prepared me to be able to drive motor coach now. So God knows what He does. But then in 2009, I accepted the call to come to Tipton Baptist Church, where I've served as the pastor for the last 7.5 years. But my burden for the Dominican Republic never ceased. And I remember several years ago, it was shortly after I came to Tipton, I met a missionary who works with Haitian pastors and helps pastors in Haiti. And I just had this burden to be able to help the Dominican church make that transition from being a receiving church that depends on missionaries to do the work for them to becoming a church that's sending out their own missionaries. And so I asked this missionary, I said, would you be willing to go to the other side of the island and work with some of the pastors in the Dominican Republic to help give them a vision and to help train them to be able to send out missionaries and church planters? And as I shared my vision with him, he said, Dan, why are you asking me to do this? It sounds like you're the one that needs to go do this. And I gave him 3 excuses. I said, 1, the Lord called me here to Tipton, and this is where I'm to be. 2, my wife's health. There's no way I could go back. And 3, there is no way I'm going through the process of raising support as a missionary again. Well, 2 years ago, I've continued involved in the ministry in the Dominican Republic over the years, and I've continued to lead missions trips to the Dominican Republic from Tipton and from other churches. 2 years ago, I felt that our kids were old enough that they were ready to go down and participate on a missions trip, so we went to the Dominican Republic as an entire family. The week we were to fly down to the Dominican Republic, my wife had a severe abdominal migraine and spent 3 days in intensive care. I said to her, it'll cost a fee, but we could probably find someone else to take your ticket and you and the kids and just stay back. I'll just go by myself. And Barb said, no, I'm going. So we asked the cardiologist, now she's in intensive care, and we asked the cardiologist and said, we're supposed to go to the Dominican Republic in 3 days. Can she go? He's like, what? And we explained the situation. He said, well, I'm not going to stop you from going. He said, but as soon as you get back, call me. We're setting up an appointment to put in a pacemaker. Because normally her heart would bounce back pretty quickly, but that one, they actually had to give her an adrenaline shot to get her heart beating properly again. So 2 days after she got out of intensive care, we went to the Dominican Republic. While we were there, we stayed an additional week after the team came back, and a young lady from Tipton who had become really close friends with a Dominican family because she had been down on several trips as well, stayed an additional week with that Dominican family. So the night before we are to fly back to the States, we had to go pick her up. On the way to pick her up, Barb started having a really bad abdominal migraine. I had to pull over 3 or 4 times on the drive there as she was just dry heaving and bent over in extreme pain along the side of the road. Now, I'll tell you this. There has not been a single occasion where her symptoms have gotten that bad, and especially the fact that she had left all of her medication back at the apartment where we were staying. Her symptoms have never gotten that bad without her spending a couple days in ICU. So we got to the house where this young lady was staying in Jacagua, which is the community where the team's going to be. And I went into the house real quick to tell Jenna, the young lady from Tipton, that we needed to go immediately because I think I'm going to have to take Barb to the hospital and I don't know what's going to happen. As I am explaining this and helping her get her things together, several young men from the Jacagua church went outside. Barb was along the side of the road, bent over, hunched over in pain. They made a circle around her, put their hands on her, and began to pray. And immediately, her symptoms went away. Her symptoms went away completely. Next morning, we flew back to the States. And I'll tell you, by this point, my burden for the Dominican Republic is just sky high. I mean, I'm just itching to, you know, seeing God work and just. But I had made a determination several years ago, as I felt gradually God beginning to increase the burden for the Dominican Republic and in my own heart, I had made a determination that I would not be the one to bring up the subject. I knew the pain and the guilt that my wife carried because of the fact that it was her health that prevented us from going. And so I had prayed. I said, Lord, if you are calling us back to the Dominican Republic, you are going to have to initiate that call through my wife because I'm not going to be the one to bring up the subject. So 2 weeks after we got back from the Dominican Republic, it's a Saturday night. It's 10 o'clock at night and I'm trying to go to sleep, because I get up normally 6 a.m. Sunday mornings to get to the church early. 10 a.m., Barb is there just tossing and turning. And finally, she nudges me and says, Dan, we need to talk. So I sat up in bed. I said, well, let's talk. She said, I think God's calling us back to the Dominican Republic. I said, really? Let's talk. We stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning praying and talking. And that night, we determined that we were going to take an entire year to pray. We didn't want to make an emotional decision. We wanted to make sure that this was definitely God's call. And so we asked for some specific things for God to reveal to us that this was his call. And we also asked him to surprise us with many more. And I can honestly go on for 2 hours if I had the time, just telling you example after example of how God confirmed during that year that this is where he wants us. The one major request that we asked the Lord is that in that entire year that we were praying about this, that Barb would not have a single abdominal migraine that she would end up in the hospital for. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware, but even during our time here at Tipton, she's been hospitalized at least 2 or 3 times a year with abdominal migraines, and each time she's in the hospital for several days. So this was a big thing to ask, that God would allow her to go an entire year without being in the hospital. Guess what? It's been 2. It's been 2 years. And God just began to confirm time and time again that this was his timing, that this was his call. The other major confirmation was we had decided that we were only going to tell a few people about this. And we hadn't even told my own parents yet because they were traveling at the time. So nobody knew, just Barb and I knew that we were praying about this. 2 weeks after that, one of the young deacons, well, he's not a deacon now, but he was a deacon at the time, at Tipton, came up to me. Now, he had been with me on several of these missions trips. And he said, "Pastor, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure, Donnie, what's up?" He said, "Pastor, you're going back to the Dominican, aren't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, we're going back in June of 2016. I hope you're coming with us again." He said, "That's not what I'm talking about." I said, "Well, what are you talking about, Donnie?" He said, "You're going back there as a missionary, aren't you?" I said, "Donnie, where did that come from?" He said, "Pastor, I've been down there with you several times. I've seen you interacting with the people. I see your love for the people and for the country." He said, "I know that's where you belong." Talk about God confirming. So we, when the date came that we had set in which we were going to make a decision, I walked up to Barb. Well, we hadn't said that, we hadn't determined that we would make a decision that day. We just weren't going to make a decision before then because we wanted to take a year to pray. When that date came, I said to Barb, I said, "Do you realize what day this is?" She said, "Yeah." And we didn't even have to discuss it. We both looked at each other and said, "Yeah, we're going." God had made that call so clear. So we began the process of letting the church know and going to applying to the mission. We went to candidate orientation last November, and one of the first days there, one of the directors came up to me and said, "Dan, I know you have a lot of plans in place already, but I want to ask you to keep your hands, your plans with an open hand, because you may not know everything that God has for you yet." And another director was giving was sharing about a new emphasis that the mission has. And that is business as missions. In other words, they have found that in most of the countries where Crossroad has had missionaries for years, there is one group of people, there is one segment of the population that we simply have not been able to establish relationships with and have not been able to reach. And that is the business class, the elite, the upper class in the country. And because of the way the country is segregated socially, unless you are part of that class, unless they see you as one of them, there's no way of establishing meaningful relationships with them. And so they challenged me and said, "Dan, would you be willing to consider going back to the Dominican Republic in some type of business capacity that will not only allow you to work with the churches, but at the same time allow you to have an influence in the business community so that we can try to reach those who have the greatest possibility of impact in the country that we have not been able to reach?" And Barb and I looked at each other and kind of nodded our heads like, "That's not me." And I literally prayed. I said, "Lord, I don't see how this relates to me in any way. I'm not a business person, but if this is something you want me to consider, I'm open to it. 7 a.m. the next morning, we wake up. I pull out my phone, which is my habit. I check my emails, and there was an email from a former employer in York, Pennsylvania, saying, "Dan, I need you to give me a call. I want your help opening up a business in the Dominican Republic." One of the reasons that I am flying down June 22nd ahead of the team is I'm actually having a meeting with that business owner and several others in the Dominican Republic the Thursday before the team arrives. God is beginning to put the pieces together. So the plan is I am actually going to be going down to help start this business. I am actually going down in a capacity that will allow me to identify myself not as a missionary, but as a business person. And the reason that that is important is because the minute that they know that you are a missionary, that sets up roadblocks. Now, what the business is going to be paying me is not enough to support our entire ministry and all of our expenses as a family. And so what the mission has done is basically Barb is going to be an employee of the mission. All of our support through the mission will go to her, and then I will basically receive a salary from the business. And the reason that we're doing that is, again, that allows me to be able to legitimately introduce myself and relate to business people in the Dominican Republic as one of them, as a business person. And God has already begun to open up doors and opportunities with relationships with individuals that I knew, that I went to school with in the Dominican Republic, that are now business people or are members of some of the top business families in the country. And so God has already begun to give me an incredible circle of influence even before we arrive in the country. So we're going to be working with the Dominican churches. A big part of my emphasis with the Dominican churches is giving them a vision and helping them strategize how they can send out their own church planters and also send out Dominican missionaries to Cuba, Venezuela, and Colombia, which are countries where North American missionaries have very difficult times getting visas to go, whereas Dominicans have absolutely no limitations whatsoever. At the same time, being involved in the business community will allow me to establish meaningful relationships with some of the top business and political leaders in the country. This is the ministry that God has called us to. It's a unique ministry. It's one that I would have never dreamt up. It is one that I believe now, as I look back, I can see why God delayed our return to the Dominican Republic. Because there were things that God still had to put in place for me, one, to have the experience as a pastor to be able to train Dominican pastors, and two, God had to put the right people and the right experiences in my path for me to be able to go down in a business capacity. I'm going to ask you to pray for us as we continue down this journey. There are still many details that need to be worked out. We still have to raise about 50% of the support that we would have if we were going as traditional missionaries. Our goal is to be in the Dominican Republic the beginning of next year, but in order for that to happen, we have to have 75% of our support by September 30th. We are at 36%, so we still have a lot of support to raise. And so our desire is not only to build up a support team of churches and individuals who God would move to want to be a part of this unique ministry and God, and call that God has placed on our lives, but also Christian business people. God has placed a burden on my heart, and my desire is to have at least 10 or 12 Christian businessmen who would say, you know what, I want to be a part of the process of reaching business people in the Dominican Republic. I believe that's important to have these business people as part of our ministry, not just for financial support, but also business men and women here in the U.S. have a lot of experience that I really would like to tap into and to be able to, that they would be able to assist and to give us advice as we go down this journey. The other thing is, I would like to have opportunities down the road for the business people that are part of our ministry support team to be able to actually go down and interact with some of the Dominican businessmen that we're trying to lead to the Lord. And so if you would just pray for us, and pray if God would have you be a part of this unique ministry, this unique call that the Lord has placed on our lives. And we will continue to take these steps of faith as Abraham did. We don't know everything that God has in store yet. We don't even know if we will get there when we plan to get there. Only God knows. But please pray for us and pray and see if God would have you be a part of this team. In the back is our table. There's some literature. We'll be back there for a while. We'd love to talk to you and answer any questions that you may have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are an incredible God. We thank you that you guide and direct. We thank you that you know all of our plans, even though we may not. And so, Lord, I just thank you for grace, and I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for their faithfulness to your word, their faithfulness to the community of Tyrone, their faithfulness to world missions. And I thank you for their faithfulness to my family over the years. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless their ministry here and that you would continue to guide their steps and direct their steps as you guide and direct ours as well. All this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dan. It's interesting, isn't it, truly, how God does lead us. Prepares us for things that we can't foresee, and how he's done that in Dan and Barb's life. And it's just interesting how this businessman called you at the same time that your mission board had talked to you about working with the business class of the Dominican. That's interesting. God's grace. All right, well, let's